Turn our Bibles, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We'll be expositing the last three verses of this chapter, verses 17 through 20. 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 17 through 20. The series has been a model of faith, a model ministry, and a model church. All right. The word of the Lord says, "But since we were torn away from you, brothers, for a short time, in person, not in heart, we endeavored the more eagerly and with great desire to see you face to face, because we wanted to come to you, I, Paul, again and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Sunday morning where we are gathering to worship your name and to hear the preaching of your word, Lord Jesus. I'm just a vessel that you have wanted to use for your glory, God. Help me in transmitting all the words accurately, Lord Jesus, of Scripture, God. And if there's something in there that does not belong to your Scripture, God, make mute hearts, God. But open their hearts to those that are from your heavenly Scripture, God. And we thank you. And it is in your name that we pray. Amen and amen. Well, last week, Pastor Tony preached on that the Word of God or the Word of God accomplishes the work of God. It is through his work, it is through the preaching, through the announcement, through the sharing of this Word that God brings sinners to faith. And we saw in the text how Paul gave thanks to God because the Thessalonian church had believed in the Word. Paul said, you believed it like it was, the word of God and not the word of man. So this week, in our text, we can see now how Paul and his companions are eager to be with the Thessalonian church. It was impossible to them to be there because it was hindered for them to be there. In this age of technological advancements, we have the blessing that we could communicate instantly with our loved ones, with our friends. You have a smartphone where you could communicate all over the world. You could make a call to India. You could Skype with someone from Africa. It doesn't matter. We have all these means that we could use today. And I remember myself being a kid, being raised. Technology was not as advanced as today. But we at least had phone lines from our house. We could call people. And I remember the liberty that we had because when we used to go out, we didn't have any phone on us. So it was like, you're by yourself, you know. It's like watching Stranger Things all over again. They were like, you know, out in the woods and they have no phones, no way of communicating. So, you know, there was that certain liberty. But at the same time, there's no way of communicating with your loved ones. But if we go back even more in time, the time where Paul lived, there was no phones. There was no way of communicating instantly. The only way they communicated with the Thessalonian church was via letters. And who knows how long those took to arrive. So Paul, writing to this church, has a sense of urgency of seeing his brothers and sisters in Christ who had accepted the word of God. He wanted to be there in the flesh to greet them and have a relationship with them. So in this, that we can see that the love of Jesus for Paul fueled his love for the church. And that is a topic I want to address this morning, church. It is Jesus' love for us should fuel our love for one another. Let me say it one more time. Jesus' love for us should fuel our love for one another. And in that, we should long to be in fellowship with one another. We see here in the first text we just read, verse 17, I will read it again for convenience. It says, "But since we were torn away from you, brothers, for a short time in person, not in heart, we endeavored the more eagerly and with great desire to see your face to face." So let's kind of give a very general background of Paul and Silas. They had been in the Thessalonian church before. They had already taken the gospel to this church before. But because of the intense persecution that arose there, they were forced to flee the city. And they were forced to flee the city by night. So there wasn't no time to say, "Hey, hugs and kisses for everyone, we're out of here." There was no time for that. There was persecution. So that's why Paul in this text is saying here that we were torn from you. We were forced to leave from you. We were separated forcefully. And it is important here that we address this carefully. The word here that Paul uses for torn away is in the root word for a context that means to be orphaned. Now, I would love to go to the Greek and say this word, but I will mess up this word because it is so long. So I will not even try to spell it out. But what he means here is that I was orphaned from you. Let's clarify this. What is Paul mean was saying that I was orphaned from you? It does not mean that he was an orphan. It definitely does not mean that the Thessalonian church were orphans. Look at what theologian J.K. Beale states about this text. He said, "The thought of being orphaned emphasizes his affection for those to whom he writes." It is that affection that he has, that he feels that he has been forcefully separated from his family. And family it was indeed. We are the family of Christ. The church is a family. It is a family that need to have a relationship with one another. Paul's eagerness to be with them is the eagerness that we as the Church of Christ should have with everyone who is here. Paul said, "We endeavored the more eagerly and with great desire to see you face to face." Yeah, it's fine. I wrote you a letter. Yes, we are communicating. But there's nothing else than to be face to face with one another. We need to understand, Gateway Church, that the love that God has poured upon us through His Son, Jesus Christ, should motivate us to love one another. You may ask, "Hector, well, how does that look? How can I love one another?" It's easier said than done, right? So we should be eager to know each other well. That is a way that we can love one another. Eager to be and to know each other well, because just like in a family, there is a relationship. To be a healthy spiritual family, we need to know the person who is sitting beside us, in front of us, and behind us. We have Christ in common. We are a community of believers. It's like, for example, you go to a ball game and you're watching there the Cleveland Indians and you're hurraying and you're shouting out for your Indians, and sometimes you don't even know who the person behind you is. You could just give them a high five. If there was a home run, we did it. You don't know who that person behind there. I mean, you don't know who that person is. And you're willing to do that. Or to the person beside you. How even more, as a family of Christ, that we should know each other well. And that we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. So we are a unit. We are a community of believers. And Paul, somewhere else in Corinthians, he addresses the church telling them that we are part of this same body of believers. We are the body of Christ. So it means, brothers and sisters, that we are bound up together. You can't get rid of me that easy. I'm sorry. Even if you wanted to. We are related to each other in the body of Christ. There's no black. There's no white. There's no brown. Yellow, green, and continue the colors, whatever you want to do. We are all brothers and sisters in the Lord. And as a family that we are, we should serve each other. Because serving each other is another way of loving one another. Paul actually said it in previous verses. In verse 8, it says, "So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of Jesus Christ, but our own selves." He's saying, it's not enough that I brought you the good news of salvation. I'm here to bring my own self, to put myself in service of you. You see that? Paul, are you saying we have to serve one another? Oh, that doesn't sound convenient. Oh, it's not. What's wrong with you, Paul? Many people inside the church have a consumerist mentality. We want to be served. You say, give me. Everything is for me. Why should I serve? Why don't people serve me? We have been so accustomed to pay for services that we tend to transfer this mentality inside the church. We become people who want to be served instead of seeing how we can serve others. Remember, you go to a restaurant and what happens there? You are served. You go to department stores and you are served. You go to Starbucks and you are served. You pay and people are serving you all the time somehow. But when we gather as a church of Christ, as a spiritual family that we are, we should be asking, how can I serve today? Brothers and sisters, has not the gospel of Jesus Christ moved you to love and serve one another? It's throughout Scripture. And who better to use an example as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? He gives the best example of servanthood that could exist. In his life and his death and resurrection, he served us the best possible way we could have been served, because we did not deserve it at all. He is the God who came to serve. We're talking about the King coming down to become a human to serve, not waiting to be served. Church, let's serve one another. Help one another, because in doing this, you will share the love of Jesus that is in you. And Christ even said it better. It is better to serve than to be served. Let's imitate him. Paul and his companions were only imitating Christ. That was the example that they had. And that's what they wanted the Thessalonians to do, to be an example to them. They had eagerness to serve the church of Thessalonica, to show them the love of Jesus, the love that he had shown them through mercy and through salvation. So, Church of Christ, Church of God, we should long to help each other, to serve each other, to know each other well. If there is someone inside here that you don't know, you should know that person. Take your time and greet them, meet them, communicate with them. Remember, Paul wanted to be there face to face. You should talk to your brothers and sisters face to face. It is well to communicate, you know, every now and then through Facebook, Twitter, whatever you want to do is fine. But there is nothing like a face to face relationship. Face to face should be our purpose in knowing each other well. because the love of Jesus should fuel our love for one another. And so even though Paul had his longing to be with them and to serve them, it was a challenge for him to arrive at Thessalonica. It was hindered for him to be there. There was a hindering of the fellowship of the saints that was occurring. And verse 18 explains it. It says, because we wanted to come to you, I, Paul, again and again, but Satan hindered us. He's saying, I've tried to be there. I've tried to go to you, to meet you, to serve you, to love you, but it has been impossible. It is important to say, my brothers and sisters, that the devil opposes anything that has to do with Christ. Satan tries to destroy the work of the kingdom. He even tried to tempt Jesus when he was praying and fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. So imagine he will try to tempt us and try to hinder our relationship with each other. But how does specifically Satan hinder the work of the gospel? How does he hinder the fellowship of the saints? Well, to starters, he spreads his influence on those who are in darkness. And I think Ephesians 2, verses 2 and 3, I think Paul states that very well. It says, and you were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world. See, you were following a different course, which was not Christ. Following the prince of the power of the air. Who is that? That is Satan. The spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. And we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. So this influence of sin is the influence of the world, is the influence that Satan has in this world. It is the same influence that was in the garden when Adam and Eve disobeyed that first commandment given to man. It is the same influence that causes us not to obey God's law. The same influence that makes us sin. Those who are outside of Christ want to deliberately sin and are under the influence of darkness. That's how we all were. If those of here that are saved by grace, saved by Christ, we once lived in these passions. We were enslaved to sin. Before being in Christ, our free will was not free at all. If we had a free will, it is a free will to sin freely. Because our will has been corrupted by sin. So what do I want you to understand by this text? I want you to understand that the world without God hates God and opposes the word of God to go forth. That happened to the Jews when Christ came. They've made their own man-made religion because sin clouded their reasoning. They could not see the Christ. See, this is the influence of darkness. So it is in this way that Satan is at work. He hinders the apostles in going to Thessalonica through persecution. Through people who hate God. And we do understand that the gospel is a light to those who are blind. And though Satan cannot win, Satan will not succeed. In his plan, he will try to hinder at least the fellowship if he could. So though the Thessalonians had believed and come to faith in Christ, Satan could at least prevent that fellowship between Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. It is important to know that Satan cannot touch our salvation. He is not sovereign. God is sovereign. Your salvation is in the hands of Jesus, but he could definitely try to influence some way, somehow, use this worldly influence to hinder us. To meet one another, to fellowship with one another, to know one another, to help those who are in need. He knows, Satan knows that a broken fellowship can prevent kingdom growth. And that's why I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, that we need to be aware of our surroundings. We need to be aware of distractions as Christians that we are. The enemy can prevent us from longing to serve one another and to love one another. With the busyness of life, who here is not busy every day? Hands, anyone? Oh, okay. Brother, bless your heart. Everyone is busy. Busyness is crazy. And that is the same busyness that will keep us and will hinder us from knowing our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Another way of preventing this kingdom growth is not to be in the Word, is not to be in prayer often, not to serve the brothers and sisters in Christ. People that are more worried about their busyness in life and worried only in themselves have been hindered by the worldly influence of Satan. We're not saying here that Satan is in your house. We're not saying that anything mystic was happening. We're just saying that that worldly influence that Satan has in the world can blind you as well. There's so many things you have to do. We have technology, we have entertainment, which just serves as more distraction to not do the work of the kingdom, to not serve others well. You think Satan does not love for us to have smartphones and computers and TV and Netflix and Amazon and go and go and go? Are these things bad in of themselves? No, they're not. Actually, we buy a lot of things through Amazon. We see programs on Netflix. But these are things that can be used to hinder us to serve other people as well. So it is our responsibility to be on the lookout from the busyness of life and doing everything for self-service. Everything we want to do is just for me, for my family, which is fine. It's our responsibility. But how about those that are part of the family, those who have Christ in common? We're not talking about the ball game now. We're not talking about the Cleveland Browns now. I'm not talking about the Cleveland Cavs. We're talking about having Christ in common. Does it cost us so much to pick up the phone and call someone if you have not seen him or seen her in church lately? It will just cost a couple minutes of your day to take your phone, call someone. I didn't see you in church. Is everything well? They may have a need. Another thing is that we could also help disciple other people in their walk with Christ. Those who are mature in their faith could help those who are weaker in the faith and help disciple them as well. It is the love of Jesus that has to fuel our love for one another. So for Paul, even though he could not make it back, even though he couldn't go to the church, he had joy. He boasted for the fruits of obedience that the Thessalonian church had. Which leads me to my third and last point, which is our joy and work is one another. Our joy and work is one another. Which is in verses 19 and 20 of our text, which says, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy. Paul is indicating here his joy in the labor that he has had with the church in Thessalonica. He has seen the fruitfulness, the obedience and faith of this church during persecution, during suffering. He knows he has done the work of preaching, the work of evangelists to the Gentiles, as our Lord and Savior had commanded him to do. So Paul's boasting in this text, let's clarify this for a second, it's not a boasting in arrogance. It's not saying, oh, look at everything I've done, like I've preached to these people. It's not about that. It's not arrogance of the work that he has done. It's about the joy and the assurance that he has not labored in vain, because he is preaching Christ and him crucified. I like how theologian J.K. Beale says about this text. He says, a crown in the ancient world was a picture of victory. So Paul is anticipating glorying in the successful completion of their faith as a part of the successful outcome of his own at Christ's final coming. Because his faith is linked in this manner to theirs, he desperately wants to be reunited with them to see how they are doing. He's saying, the church is my crown of victory. I have seen your faith. I have seen you grown to immaturity, to maturity. This makes me think, he's saying like the Thessalonian church is like a sign of victory. It makes me think of, if you've seen Rocky Balboa movies, you know, when Rocky's training for his fight, and he's running, and he goes up all the stairs, going up, and when he's up there, he's like raising his hands, yeah, I made it, you know, like victory, I made it, I completed my training, I did what I need to do, in sign of victory. How many people, boxers, when they fight, they raise their hands in victory? And teams, they raise their hands, they scream, they're raising their hands in victory. The church in Thessalonica was a raising of the hands of Paul. We have done our work. And he had joy in serving and giving everything that he had to them when he was there and when he was persecuted and suffered for the cause of the gospel. I ask you the same question today, Gateway Church. Can you joy, just like the Apostle Paul had in working with the Thessalonians, can you joy in serving your brother and sister in the Lord? Can you joy in your labor that Christ could use you to help someone in the church, to help them mature in their faith? Do you desire to see this fruitfulness from our family in Christ? There's something we need to understand, and I'm sure most of you, and I hope all of you understand it, but just to clarify it once again, we should know that our salvation is only by grace. It's only by faith. But we need to understand this. Our walk in faith is a labor of love. To be a Christian will cost you. To be a Christian will cost. I try to wrap around this thought of many people that say, if you come to Christ, everything will be well. Well, I mean, yeah, your soul will be well. But I mean, We're not giving people, we're saying everything is done. You're going to have the best house and the best car. This is not about this. Our walk in Christianity is a walk and labor. Do not come here thinking that other people will serve you. Come here thinking you have to serve others. There is no way you can repay your salvation. No way whatsoever. You could bring Bill Gates, you could bring the most richest of men in the world, and still that'll be too short. Our walk in Christ is a walk in labor, to earnestly love each other like our Savior has done with us. We are not meant to be idle. We are not meant to be still. The work of the kingdom is for all of those who have been saved by grace through faith. It will cost you effort. It will cost you time serving others. You may be watching TV at home and you may receive a phone call because there's someone who needs your help. It will cost you something, because we need to imitate our Lord Jesus Christ, just like the apostles did. And let's do it out of love and not disputing, because look at what Paul says in Philippians 2, verses 14 through 16. And I think this is a real smack to the face right here. Good thing I'm not saying it. This is him saying it, so it's not Hector. Forget about Hector here. This is scripture, so I read it because it's in here, right? I don't want anyone to throw their shoes at me, so. Philippians 2, verses 14 through 16, this is what it says. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ, and this is now Paul saying, that I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. See, brothers and sisters, you do not run labor in vain. Everything you do for the kingdom is doing it for our Lord in Jesus Christ. It is not in vain. Do not help one another because. I remember when I was a young boy, right, and my dad or my mom, well, do this or don't do this. I'm like, why? Well, just because. Come on. I've heard people say that to their kids, just because. That's what I want. I remember I was like, well, there has to be an explanation. Paul's saying it's not just because. It's because you should have joy and delight in serving others. Doing it without grumbling or disputing. This is out of love. Out of love for one each other. So I ask you this morning, are you laboring in vain? Are you idle? Are you still? Are you dedicating your labor only to yourself and the kingdom, not to serve others? Labor in the kingdom of God. Labor so that people may see the love you have for one another. This will not only show the fruitfulness in your faith, but it can also draw those who do not have Christ in serving one another. Find joy in one another, my brothers and sisters. Let the love of Jesus kindle your hearts toward each other. I think this is why we try to preach the gospel every single Sunday, because it is something so glorious. It is something so majestic that it is impossible not to serve others when we look at the life of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. So long to be in fellowship with your spiritual family, just as Paul was eager to do. Do not let the worldly things hinder your fellowship, because this is what Satan wants. He wants to keep the church of Christ divided. Find joy and laboring for one another. We will never find a better example of this labor than of Jesus Christ. You know that our Father in heaven was pleased to crush Jesus Christ for you and for me. It was that because he was pleased to crush his only son, that now that you and I can have this fellowship, that we can be called the family of Christ. Through his sacrifice, he was crushed. We see in this great work and sacrifice of our Savior, this great labor. What other labor than someone gives him his life for another? It is because of that that our salvation is possible. It is the greatest work, the greatest labor, the greatest love anyone could show one another. So any labor we do today cannot even compare to what Jesus did. But still, it gratifies him that we serve one another. The least we could do is live in gratitude for the salvation that has been bought through the blood of Jesus Christ. It is through his love, it is through his doing that should fuel our love for one another. And if you are here today and you do not know about this love, if you don't know about this Jesus that we have been talking about this time, the Lord wants you to repent of your sin and to believe in his eternal sacrifice through faith. There is nothing you could do to earn your salvation. Everything has been accomplished through Christ. Repent and believe in the gospel, and you will find eternal life. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you because there is no one else we can see as the greatest example of love, as the greatest example of sacrifice, of the greatest example of time, of the greatest example of humility, of the greatest example in the whole wide world, that we could have the privilege today to be called sons of God through adoption. Because once we lived in worldly passions, but today we live for you. And in our life, in our Christian walk, make that love that is inside of us, in our hearts and in our minds, God, that could fuel our love towards one another. We could help the brethren, those in need, those who need a hand. And God, in that may, through your grace, people that do not know you could see our works and that they could glorify your name in heaven, like your scripture says. We thank you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name.